We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Football now, here we go. My man, my good friend, my buddy, Nick Fitzy Stevens in studio for 4 hours. Back, the Cape is shut down, huh?
Nah.
True sign of fall. Boarded up.
It's an odd, you know, actually the reason why I'm in town this weekend, straight up, this evening I will be hosting a fundraiser for my friends at the West Suburban YMCA. They're doing the Lord's work there, right off Mass Pike at exit 17. Taking care of the good men, women, and children of the Commonwealth, and they're actually doing a drive-in movie. Your favorite, Ken.
All right.
They're show. It's a family style dinner and a movie. And you know what the movie is?
Back to the Future.
Close. That's a damn near perfect movie. Another damn near perfect movie.
Jaws.
The Princess Bride.
Oh, Princess Bride. Oh,
as
nice.
You wish, Buttercup.
Good selection.
So well, I'm here in town, and I get the benefit of four. It's a huge weekend. We got a home game tomorrow for the Patriots. It's you, me, and Bridget. Doing 4 hours of sports radio. Mm-hmm. We got call-ins and guests. And
our good
Lions
buddy Ross Tucker is going to join us at 3:15 to break down the weekend's games. Before we get into the COVID news of the day, which is, for the most part, pretty good, just in general, to start with the good football weekend vibes, how about a huge weekend for the Patriots in terms of division is wide open again, coming off the Bills' loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have the Chiefs Monday night. Real potential Tuesday morning, they are sitting there 4-2. You take care of business against the Broncos, who are now without Melvin Gordon. You're 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go wiggy here and say best team to beat in the AFC, but a pivotal game tomorrow. And a team in the Broncos who you hyped up, you tried desperately to hype up in the offseason on this show. You love Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
I know you like some of their weapons. Judy, Noah Fant was a potential Patriots target when we thought they needed a tight end, and they told us they didn't a couple of years ago. So is this going to be a tighter game than maybe the experts in the Vegas line would indicate going into tomorrow?
No.
Blowout
in
city?
A word, no. No. It's a lot of no's from a guy who tries to be so positive.
10-point win.
Yes.
Okay.
I have 31-20 tomorrow.
Okay.
I have the Patriots never really in doubt. I think it's a game that they wrest control of. Not immediately, but on the earlier side of things. Cam takes a big hit or two, maybe shakes off the rust. Enjoys a little ding just to get tuned up. Denver tries to mix in the run because the Patriots are giving up over 5 yards a carry, though they're without their bell cow now, so they're going to have to do it with Philip Lindsay, who's more of a third down option, OW scat back type. They'll take some shots. They'll test Gilmore with Judy. They'll see what this Tim Patrick guy can do. Noah Fant, great move, tight end. Problem is, he's dinged up. He's on a bum wheel that he dinged up 2.5 weeks ago against the Jetropolitans. Yeah, I mean, come on. They got so Jarrell Casey, out, great lineman, out for the season. AJ Bouye, out for this game and the majority of the season so far. He's a decent cornerback. Von Miller, out for the season. Cortland Sutton, out for the season. I mean, the attrition in Denver is as bad, non-COVID related, and now Melvin Gordon has, of all things, he's apparently 11 because he has strep throat and is out for the game tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tend to agree with you. They should blow this team out, but I just don't want to overlook anything because you hyped them up for a reason. You listed their injuries. Obviously, they're significant. But they have played a tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Titans very close week one when Drew Lock was last their starter.
And the Titans, led by, as we call them on the midday show, Thanos, are a hell of a football team.
Okay. So if that's the case, they lost by two. No, I think Gostkowski missed like eight kicks in that game or something like that.
At least in the first quarter.
Locke got hurt in week two. They were in Pittsburgh. They lost 26-21, but they actually, with Driscoll, had the ball 4th and 2 at the Pittsburgh 15 with under 2 minutes to go against an unbeaten Steelers team.
Now, what do you think that says? Is that more an indictment of the Steelers not being maybe a bit more of a paper tiger, so don't sleep on the Browns tomorrow? Or is this, hey, Denver's better than their record indicates?
I think Denver's defense is good enough that they keep them in games, even without Von Miller. At least that's what the stats show.
And Bouye and Casey?
Yep. I mean the run defense is pretty good, 13th in the league. So this could be a game where, and obviously Vic Fangio is a defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally see him coming in tomorrow and scheming a way to create problems for COVID Cam.
Now,
off the long layoff.
Does he force Cam to look out?
Yep. Yep.
Like I'm going to, you know what? If you're going to beat me, Cam.
Damn, Demir Bird's open. I have to throw to him.
Wow. Oh, man. Is this a Harry and Bird game?
It might be a Harry Bird game.
It might be a Harry. Watch out, folks. The Harry Bird coming at you.
Maybe
see
the Gunner game.
Who says he wants to start contributing and looks to make an explosive play? Also, maybe, just, you know, I'm reaching here, but maybe, just maybe, we can throw to the tight ends.
Let's not.
Which one
overboard.
Is it going to be?
I have seen the Ossie tweets by several of the Pats media. So is that based on something they saw in the one practice?
I'm curious. And also, there was a nice little, I think it was on Nesson, there was a nice little Dalton Keene, like, he's putting in the work. No one works harder than Dalton Keene. Like, it's only a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when.
It's kind of a 2-week, bi-week boredom of, it's time to post something about Ossie and Keene.
Let's go through the rest of the Broncos before we get into which players we think are actually going to make an impact and a couple other little ranking and positional types that I got for you.
Okay. Well, I finished with, the last game they played was the Jets when they made the change at quarterback. I guess they actually brought
In the summer?
Yeah. They brought Rippon in. I skipped the Tampa game. They got blown out by Tampa.
Yes, they did. It was a lopsided.
He got benched. Rippon came into the fourth. 28-10 final. Then they went to New York to beat the Jets 37-28. Rippon started and looked pretty good,
mm-hmm.
all things considered. Also
three picks, one of which was a pick six.
He did. So, obviously, they're better than the Jets. So, that's all we know about the...
Okay, so the Carolina Panthers football team on Twitter is at Panthers, and they're branded tough-ass football team.
Uh-huh.
The Denver Broncos are at Broncos, and it says better than the Jets.
Pretty much.
Are you sure that's what you want to hang your hat on?
Andrew Locke's healthy, but you tell me. You hyped up Locke. You thought he was going to be...
He's good.
They were going to be a factor.
They were excellent. In the five games he started last year, they were great. They went 3-2 or 4-1. Like, they were terrific.
So what prevents him from tomorrow lighting up the Patriots Gilmore,
no one's lighting
subpar?
Up, no one, because you don't like... Because Russell Wilson did it in what essentially turned out to be a preseason game for both of them. Now, since then, we've seen the Patriots defense respond much better. In the Raiders game, the pass defense, by and large, except for that amazing throw to Renfro and whatever the hell Gilmore was thinking when he let Aguilar get by him, sidebar, who thought 2020 Nelson Aguilar was going to be a thing? But apparently, he's terrific finally. But against the Chiefs, I'll hang my hat on giving up only 19 to the Kansas City Chiefs every day that ends in AY and twice on the one we call Sunday. Come on now, that was a defensive effort and a half.
Right. But they had Gilmore.
And now they have
healthy.
Gilmore.
We have no idea what he or Cam is going to look like. Well, that's the only big mystery.
I doubt they're going to come out and look like Adrian Brody and the Pianist. I mean, for God's sakes, they're not going to be emaciated and gaunt like, get them out of there. Somebody feed him.
I would agree. I'm just trying to push back a little bit.
I understand.
I don't want to overlook the Bronx. Like, if it's a three-point game Monday,
okay.
What is the narrative? Is it, they all had COVID and they had one practice and
the narrative is
Drew Locke was back and it's better than we thought they were. And
this was the narrative was Denver had a lot of time to prepare. They're better than we think. Great professional effort. Vic Fangio, maybe better defensive coach than he is head coach, but hey, he got them ready. They've had plenty of time and they've been pissed for about 8-9 days now because they had a bye, then they lost it.
Correct. Highly motivated. Pissed off Broncos team.
You got a highly motivated Broncos team that's quite injury depleted, especially in the offensive ranks coming in, against a Patriots team that's had two practices in the past 2 weeks.
They had a walkthrough today, I guess.
A walkthrough.
One practice with pads.
Two practices and one walkthrough.
Okay.
And that's all they've had over the past 2 weeks. Now, that said, Ken.
Breaking news here now. This even sways even further. Okay. From Troy Rank. Who covers the Broncos for Channel 7 in Denver and Denver Post. Noah Fant not making the trip. He is out.
Okay.
So
Pats by a million.
Forget it. Fant and Melvin Gordon are now out tomorrow. There's no excuse.
Oh, so his ankle. So he practiced in a limited capacity, and all the fantasy wonks that I follow said it looked like it was trending in the direction of him playing. So now that Noah Fant is not playing, tomorrow is a Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, and maybe KJ Hamler day. There's the other kid
I was high on, the
Penn State rookie. He's like kind of a Henry Ruggs III light. Everyone's trying to find their Tyreek Hill now, Ken. And that's who Denver was looking for when they took Hamler, a guy that I thought the Pats would have scooped up in the early to mid rounds. Speed for days. But, tomorrow I think the Patriots take their early shots from Denver. Denver can't sustain a ground and pound campaign unless they can open things up. I mean, they don't really have the backs to do it because, their lead back isn't the same now. With Melvin Gordon, it would
Royce
have been a
different
Freeman
game. Is going to be the main ball carrier.
Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay, come on. No.
Well, I think that leads to this narrative then. Things are working out pretty well for the Patriots despite having some COVID issues. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, Belichick did a great job to get this game pushed, which we now believe that's confirmed, right? He had a major role in getting this game postponed, pushed back a week. They missed Cam Newton for one game. The Bills, all of a sudden, I don't want to say the Bills came crashing to earth. That game got away from them, obviously. I think they're still good. I'm not going to write them off. But wouldn't you sit here and say the Patriots are in a pretty good position? They are looking at a nice little 3-2, Bills 4-2. Niners, we don't know what they'll be like. They play Sunday night.
Jimmy G is starting tomorrow night.
Is he back for sure?
Yep, on that. He's on his bum wheel starting tomorrow night.
But another winnable game.
Niners?
For the Patriots.
Oh, for the Patriots this week and next week, definitely, for sure. When you have their defensive line has just been gutted, Jimmy G on a bum wheel, their weapons far and few between. The only thing you have to worry about next Sunday, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, get out over the skis, or get ahead of ourselves, is that San Francisco can run the ball. And that's the biggest issue right now for the Patriots. The defensive line is rice paper thin.
Right.
There's not a lot of room for error or injury. You've got Lawrence Guy, an injured Adam Butler, who surprisingly this year is playing really well and is commanding, I think, the third most double teams of any defensive lineman in the NFL, which is a wild little stat. Never knew. But he's playing great. And then, no Cowart this week. Are you going to see Bill Murray suit up this week, finally? I don't think he's quite up to size. Bo Allen still has a bum wheel. He's on IR. The immortal Carl Davis.
Yeah, that's a point well taken. If you play a good run offense, you could be in some trouble. But this week they dodged that, obviously, without Gordon there, so, and now Noah Fant.
They don't have
to
worry about it this week, so maybe they can get healthy enough in time for San Francisco. Let's concentrate on tomorrow. Is tomorrow a day where the Patriots feel good enough with this time off to bring in an Uche or a Jennings on defense? Now, Belichick has said that he's never seen his rookie class be further behind in their development. But, of course, they've been beset by the great pandemic of 2020, all the Zoom learning, and everything else that's making it difficult for people to bring along rookies and recent additions to their team. I get it.
Which is all the more surprising. Duggar has seen as much time as he has, being the Division II guy.
The guy's a freak.
But you would think he'd be behind, too. But your point's well taken. I guess the question to start on the phone line, 617-779-7937. Do you like where the Patriots are sitting right now in the AFC, in the division? Do you see this team as just ready to take off on a nice little two-game win streak? And then that trip to Buffalo on November 1st, which is 2 days before the trade deadline. And you know Belichick is always making some kind of a tweak there. At least that's been the recent history. Not saying he's done well there every year, in particular last year.
See, that's the problem. Last year has tainted his record because, by and large, he's done better than he hasn't. More diamonds in the muff. Nice job, Fitz. More diamonds in the I think we can say that. Maybe?
It was accidental, so I'm going to let it go.
Okay, we're going to let that slide. If that's my last broadcast line, it's been a pleasure with you, Ken, playing fiddle on the deck of the Titanic. I think Belichick has done much better. He's found more diamonds in the rough, if you will, and more reclamation projects, more guys that other people have given up on. Your Akeem Ayers, your Kyle Van Noy's, et cetera, I like those in-season additions. I just hope people don't think like, well, ever since Sanu, he's not allowed to make a trade again. That's it. He spent so much last year and got so little in return. You know, Kraft has taken away his keys to the trade card.
I'll admit, I liked the Sanu trade when they made it. It sounds so stupid to say now. He's totally done.
He's out of the league.
Like, was the high ankle sprain that significant that he just never became the player he he could never get back there. It doesn't seem like that debilitating an injury.
And all the promise that he showed, and that's what's dangerous about an injury like that. Like, it can linger for a long time, especially if it's a grade three. He showed a nice little bit of, I know most of his catches were like in the 4 to 8 yard range, but he looked good in the Baltimore game. Like, he was a legitimate asset for a Tom Brady style offense. And then as soon as he went back for that punt, rolled his ankle against Philadelphia, never the same since.
Now, you lost to Kansas City, Patriots fans, and they just got beat. So, the you know, hanging in there with the Chiefs doesn't look
as good. Boat raced, I believe the technical term is.
Okay. So they added Le'Veon Bell this week. Mm-hmm. That's not a good place to be sitting narrative. So, you know, to spin it as everything is good, everything is happy, obviously that's a big development in the other direction. Curtis, our good buddy, lead mm-hmm. yesterday was Patriots no longer the destination team for veterans that want to come and win a title. That's mantle has been passed.
I saw that coming 10 miles away through the fog.
But, I mean, why didn't Le'Veon Bell sign here? They obviously showed some interest.
And did you see how little money he took, too?
Exactly.
He's only getting, like, well, it's because the Jets are already paying him $6 million. So Miami, I think the tweet was Miami was, quote, waving around a lot of money at Le'Veon Bell. So they were willing to give him a raise to get him to come down to Miami. They wanted him to commit to the idea that they were that it was a culture move for him, that they were someone to invest in and that they were a team on the rise. Like, buy into our program and we'll make you a star again.
Well, I can understand him not wanting to go there.
And he trains down there, too. I think he's either got family or trains down there.
Yeah, but if you're Bell on a one-year deal, you want to go to a place where your stock, you want to reinvigorate yourself and put yourself on the market next year in a good light.
You know what you want to do? You want to pull a Cam Newton.
Exactly.
You want to go someplace where you think you'll be a good fit. You'll work with good coaches who are going to show people that you've still got it for little money. I mean, he's like, Cam's pockets are deep. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell's pockets are deep. My God, the Jets. And now you don't need the money. You're going someplace because you want to A, win, and B, prove that you're worth reinvestment, that you still have the passion, the pride, the power.
Right. So why did he not choose New England?
Because Kansas, I hate to say it, this sounds insane. Kansas City actually kind of needed him more. Now you'll say, like, hold on a second. The best offense in football needed Le'Veon Bell more. The Patriots have a deeper running back group. And if Damian Harris continues to emerge, if he shows more of the promise that he displayed against Kansas City, 17 for, I think it was like a .107,
yeah,
with that nice 41-yard off-tackle scamper in the second half, then the Patriots might think, hey, we have a lead back that actually runs the direction we need him to, which is forward. We have, and hits holes. We have, although Sony looked good in that game against the Raiders, I know I'm not buying into the Sony hype now. He'll have to prove it to me on a different day. You've got the utility man in Rex Burkhead. You've got a great pass catching back in James White. You got little J.J. Taylor. Like, they have depth. That's not an issue for them. They would have definitely found a way. I mean, when you have, if you're out to dinner and you're having a steak and someone comes by and says, hey, guess what? Lobster tails for free tonight. You don't say, oh, I've already got all this steak. What am I going to do with that lobster tail? You say, hell yeah, surf and turf.
Well, but I don't think Belichick says it that way. I think that's the problem. I bet you Belichick.
He looks at assets and just can't pass up on them, Ken. That's the thing. That's why, you know, like, when you have a talent like that, you find a way to integrate him. You find a way to work with him.
Yeah, but I bet you Le'Veon Bell had a conversation with Belichick at some point or somebody with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And he said, what can you guarantee me in terms of playing time? You know, how much of a focus will I be in that offense? And they said, you're going to be part of the group.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to shower him with, you're our guy, where I could totally see Andy Reid and Mahomes saying, we need you. As you say, we have nobody else at running back. You're the bell cow. We are featuring you all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they romanticized them.
Right.
That's not the right word. But what, you know what I
mean. No, but they tell him what they pump his tires.
Yeah, they pump them up.
All the smoke and sunshine where it belongs.
Right.
And then and he hears, okay, so you've got your little Maurice Jones-Drew in Clyde Edwards. You got the Fresh Prince of L.A. there, but it's a lot to ask of him in his rookie year. You've seen him. Like, he's pretty good catching the ball out of the backfield, but he's not big enough, not quick enough. He was great. He was a good college running back.
Mm-hmm.
Scored a hell of a lot of points on that epic offense last night with Burrow and Jefferson and Moss Incorporated, but he's not a lead back yet.
Yeah.
And bringing in someone like Le'Veon Bell to, A, learn from, and, B, take some of the weight off his shoulders, makes Clyde Edwards-Helaire will benefit Le'Veon Bell in the same way that Le'Veon Bell will benefit Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's why they needed him more, per se.
So where's the Fitzy power rankings, then, as you sit here, 17th of October, sitting in a decent spot? Obviously, there's nobody that's unbeatable. The entire conference is now, like, up in the air. Would you slot Titans 1 just based on, I mean, if it was like a college football ranking, you'd have to put them 1, I guess.
Titans 1, Kansas City 2, Yep. Pittsburgh three. And then in a four until I say, well, they're undefeated. They look pretty good.
Yeah, but their schedule's mud.
I know, their schedule's great. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they validate that by playing a pretty tough Cleveland team tomorrow. And then you have the scrum. We're only going to do four teams. And then you've got Buffalo, the Patriots, maybe Cleveland, Baltimore, all fighting for fourth place right now.
Yeah. I mean, and based on who they've beaten, you know, they lost to Seattle and Kansas City, the only two good teams they played.
And they could have beaten, but that's yeah, I know.
It's the two moral victories.
No, there's not. I don't even want to get into the moral victory territory. They're 2-2. Your record is what it is. You are what you are. I get it. But you have to be feeling like, here's my thing. You have to be feeling good about this team because you've seen them go up against the best of the conference and they've gone down basically to the last play against Seattle and they were in it in the fourth quarter without a starting quarterback, having to fly out same day with the gnawing anxiety of COVID behind them the whole day long. You should definitely have faith in this team. That's why tomorrow is a great opportunity after having a game rescheduled, pissing this team off, you know, Cam disappearing and Steph Gilmore following him and then coming back to come out, get out there, knock off the rust, statement game, big win, and let everyone know the AFC, or at least the East, still runs through Foxborough.
Okay, so there it is, runs through Foxborough. Who are the teams in the AFC better than the Patriots right now? 617-779-7937. Fitzy's got him third, but somehow manages to say the AFC runs through Foxborough. You got him fourth?
Fourth.
But now you just put him first there at the end.
The AFC East,
oh,
at least.
Oh, the East.
The
okay.
East runs through them.
That's an important correction.
The
yes,
East runs
yes,
through them, and maybe the AFC. But you make a statement win tomorrow. Tomorrow is a statement win game.
Speaking of COVID, I avoided this for 20 minutes, best I could. Good news for the Patriots, obviously. They just had the one James Ferentz positive. And for the time being, the game is on. The Broncos have had a COVID positive in the organization themselves. The running backs coach, Curtis Modkins, tested positive. He will not accompany the team on the trip. No symptoms, isolating at home. Obviously, we've seen enough here from the news today that Bama coach Nick Saban's a go tonight. There are false positives all over the place. Had this with the Colts.
He's had three negative tests in a row, so he'll be on the sideline tonight.
Yep.
In a game, by the way. I kind of can't wait to watch.
Yeah, it's up against BC. Nobody's going to watch.
That's true. The BC wagon.
You can't find BC on the Comcast system anywhere.
They don't have ACC network?
They do not. And there's some kind of I was actually trying to watch the game last week. You couldn't find it anywhere.
Come on.
It's embarrassing.
ESPN2. Where's the Ocho when you need him? FS3. Come on.
But anyway, the Broncos have a COVID positive in the staff. The Patriots have one with their center, which we now think Joe Tooney is going to have to play center again tomorrow, right?
Well, because Ferentz played center in Kansas City. Hopefully you've got, because Illuminor missed a day, but then he came back. So hopefully you'll see your starting line tomorrow be Isaiah Wynn at left tackle, Michael Onwenu, left guard, position of the future for that guy right there. Ooh, baby,
their
what a steal.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney at center, Shaq Mason back at right guard, and then Illuminor at right tackle.
Mason and Wynn were questionable, too, with other injuries this week. So that's up in the air, too.
But your offensive line so far, not to give away points to be made later in the show, but quarterway mark, MVP of the New England Patriots, not named Cam Newton. Popovich and Brasillo, your offensive line coaches. What
a
job
these
guys have done.
Which I mocked Hannibal for. Hannibal put like his most 10 Patriots with most approved this year or something. This was before the season again, and he put those two on there at 9, and I mocked him for it.
You know, honestly, like the way that you knuckleheads in the morning have like trolled me and, you know, mocked Hannibal for like the way we love special teams and how important the offensive line and these coaches are, and look who's carrying the weight and water now, huh, Ken?
But I will point out, That happened because I wrote a column that Edelman had the most to prove on the team, and I got mocked relentlessly for saying that. So Hannibal put out his top 10. Mm-hmm. But to this point, Edelman has yet to rise to the occasion, you would agree, other than the one game, in terms of the guy that's, you know, the clear-cut number one and going to carry this team on his back.
This week on the latest episode of Ineligible Speakers, now streaming at WEEI.com or Facebook.com/WEEI Sports, Wiggy said we did a little who's been the most, we did a MVP through the quarterway, not named Cam, and most disappointing aspect of the Patriots through four games. I think the easy way to go with the disappointing aspect would be the tight end position. But Wiggy said the most disappointing aspect actually wasn't the tight end position or lack thereof. It was Edelman.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Huge game. Huge
right again,
game
Laird.
Week two, and then where's he been ever since?
Right again, Laird. Took accountability yesterday on the Greg Hill Show. Give him credit for that.
Did he?
Dropped an F-bomb, but did, you know, took the blame.
He's back.
He's back. We'll see.
Pats by 100 tomorrow.
Now, coming up, we'll take your calls on this. I also want the Fitzy, because I saw you tweeting about this. Trade deadline's obviously November 3rd. Long way to go, but you know, not that long. Election day, less than three weeks away.
Wait, the trade deadline is election
day? It is.
Because I need more stress that day?
But, you know, Belichick could well make a trade this week, as we well know.
Sure.
Either trading guys away, as he's done before. Jamie Collins, right, was shipped away.
There's a sneaky candidate on the Patriots team that if they make a splash move, who's incredibly valuable to this team, who could be on the way out.
Well, I want the top five, speaking of rankings, this is a Bradfield staple, I want the top five Fitzy trade targets, okay? Patriots trade targets.
On it.
From Nikolai.
On it like a honey.
On the way. First of all, let's get the trending, though.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, you know about the COVID stuff, but the Patriots facility is open. Was open this morning, and the Patriots are practicing in walkthrough style today, obviously being cautious. But the game is on tomorrow, 1 o'clock. No Melvin Gordon, no Noah Fant, no KJ Hamler for the Broncos.
No Hamler either.
That is
guys.
Just it. So the Broncos are
all right, Shime,
in tough shape.
Chris Shime, one of the producers on the Midday Show this week, in his Free Money Friday, we took the Patriots as one of our four bets.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got it. I think the spread actually went down to 8.5.
Whoa.
Before it goes up to 10, guys, get on it. Get on it.
Gilmore and Cam Newton will play. Four players questionable. Butler, Edelman, Mason, and Wynn, as we mentioned. College football going on right now. Clemson all over Georgia Tech, 31-7. At the half, Miami 14, Pitt 6, Auburn 16, South Carolina 7, and Kentucky right now with the upset on Tennessee 17-7. The big game, of course, around here, Boston College tonight, 8 o'clock.
Wait,
we'll have it for you on WEEI.
Curtis Clapp.
Curtis could neither name their star receiver nor their star tight end when asked, but he thinks they're going to win outright, so take that for what you will. Botech minus 13, that game in Blacksburg tonight at 8. Try to find it wherever you can, but if you can't, listen to it right here on WEEI. John Mead Perrell on the call. That's up against the big one,
Meets
Georgia
tweets.
And Alabama.
Mina!
And baseball has become exciting all of a sudden. We have a Game 7 tonight. The Houston Astros, for motivation, watched highlights the documentary, the 0-4 Red Sox comeback. They are now 3-3, 8:37 tonight. Charlie Morton for the Rays, Lance McCullers for the Astros, Ooh. Who could be the second team ever to come back from 0-3.
But at that time, nothing will ever top the Red Sox overcoming 86 years of history to take down the evil empire with that 3-0 comeback. That said, the interesting angle here, Kenny, Houston, the new most despised team in all of baseball, coming back to maybe make an appearance. If you're a baseball fan, if you're a sports fan, you have to root for Dodgers-Astros in the World Series.
Dodgers still in a 3-2 hole, but Mookie with a great catch yesterday, and they won the game. Game 6 of that series, 4-38. Walker Buehler and Max Fried. That's an excellent pitching matchup. This afternoon, Zdeno Chara's agent says the Bruins captain looking at all options. Joe Thornton signed a one-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's what's trending on WEEI, WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
I'll get Fitzy's list here in a second. First of all, the reaction on the text line to the, what would you call that?
Freudian slip.
A Freudian slip, okay. You wanted to say diamonds in the rough. You said something that began with the letter M instead. Excellent text line reaction to that, as you can imagine.
Give me your two favorites.
LOL, diamonds is how you get to the M word. we want Fitzy's top five diamonds in the M word.
text line still undefeated.
Yeah, very good.
I just got a text just to show you who's listening at random times, where and when. Of course, our good friend upstairs, Joe, just stopped by to say that he thought that was passable, considering that it was a slip of the tongue, and also...
Yeah, but he's headed out of town. He's no longer responsible for the station, so...
I just got a text from a gentleman, a good friend of mine, who runs a couple of comedy clubs in town, and he said... Quote, I'm naming my new comedy club Diamonds in the Rhymes with Muff. I'm rough.
Oh.
Nope, we're fine. Muffler. It's a hand muffler where you keep your hands warm.
Oh, the Broncos have all kind of roster maneuverings going on. They just released Blake Bortles. They had four quarterbacks.
What is going on? Are they even, you know what?
Right before they get on the
flight. You know what it is? They're flying sad trombone airways out here. Like,
they really are.
You got, they should just come out tomorrow in Eeyore voice, like, all right. You guys made us wait and delay the game. We lost Melvin Gordon. We had to release Blake Bortles.
Meanwhile,
we don't even have KJ Hamler. Wait, hold on. Bridget, could you, real quick, this is just for fun because we got 4 hours and why not? It's a slap happy Saturday with your old pals, Ken and Fitz. I've had somebody program in. Can you look for a Blake Bortles drop in there? It's a 6-second drop. This is Blake Bortles in a 6-second nutshell. This is from a lifestyle piece as he was ascending to quote unquote relevance or stardom mm-hmm. with Jacksonville.
Yeah.
It is truly one of the most, it's one of my 10 favorite NFL player lines of all time. Well,
talking about falling out of stardom.
You know what it was? It was with one single play. When Steph Gilmore went up and knocked that ball out of the air as intended for D.D. Westbrook in the AFC mm-hmm. Championship, if he completes that pass, come back against the Patriots, they win a game that Jacksonville fans down in Duval still think they should have won. Miles Jack entered the
chat. Absolutely.
But at the same time, next year, they bought the hype. Their Super Bowl was week 2. They beat the Patriots. And then what? Nothing. They fell apart.
But quarterbacks that have fallen.
What a precipitous drop.
Precipitous drop. Like, think of others in the league. You can easily rattle off a bunch. Case Keenum had the 1 year where everybody was like hyping him up for MVP.
Yeah.
He's now nobody. Carson Wentz.
But then he went on to the Minneapolis Miracle and then basically became, you know who he is? He's Tyrod Taylor's twin. Case Keenum and Tyrod Taylor are the same guy.
Mark Sanchez. I'm just trying to think. All these quarterbacks that have like a decent run of a year or two, Blake Bortles, and then boom, they're now getting cut mm-hmm. in favor of not only Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, and
Brett Rippin.
Like their second string.
Here's a fun little game. The three teams that have had the most quarterbacks in the time that the New England Patriots have started, since 1993, the New England Patriots have started 9 quarterbacks, Mrs. Bueller, 9. Now, last week had they played mm-hmm. and Cam was still on the COVID reserve list, Stidham would have started, as Mike Giardi confirmed
to us. Oh,
that
would have been number 10.
So he would have been number 10. So they have only started 9 quarterbacks in that time.
Who are the three most? Got to be Cleveland.
They're number 1 with 35.
Bills, I would say.
No, it's actually Twift, the Washington football team, 30, and the Denver Broncos, 26.
That's amazing.
It has been the run in just before.
Elway's franchise.
Post-Plummer and then post-Elway have mm-hmm. just been unreal. And then unreal.
You know, they get Locke and they surround them with weapons, and none of them will play tomorrow.
Well, that's why I thought they were going to be a wild card team, because if they were healthy, I mean, this is what we always said about Cam Newton, too. Like, if he's healthy, then he's going to be good, and the Pats will be relevant, 10-6, maybe 11-5. But with Denver, if you trotted out Lindsey and Gordon and Locke and Fant and Judy and Hamler and Sutton, who was just breaking ankles in training camp and was awesome last mm-hmm. year, and then you had Von Miller and Jarrell Casey on the defensive line, that's a 9-7, maybe 10-6 team. If they're like,
I guess
they should
tough
be
division, obviously.
I think they would be better than the Raiders look now, and the Raiders looked pretty damn good last week, hanging a 40 burger on the chefs.
Yeah, I think their weapons are certainly more varied and deeper. You mentioned Aguilar, like you take the Raiders tight end.
Nelson of Aguilar. Where has he come from?
I don't know. There's a resurgence.
You think Philadelphia, who's
Philadelphia
being forced
sucks the life out of you.
Being forced.
I've been there.
In a lot of ways, you have to wonder now, just like getting out from under Adam Gase revives your career, or at least allows you to return to your own particular set of skills and talents prior or therein. You have to wonder, like, is getting out of Philadelphia like super escape beneficial. Like, yeah, yeah, because it's kryptonite. I mean, like they need Nelson Agholor so badly now. Alshon Jeffrey's out. They're going to throw to Travis Fulgham again. Jalen Reagor's out. So it's the Travis Fulgham show tomorrow.
And they're still like not out of the division. They're actually very, are they in first place? They're actually
they are behind Dallas.
Okay, well they're
still 1-3-1. Dallas is at 2-3. The Dallas Cowboys with the red rifle stand high atop the NFC East. But Ken, mm-hmm. bringing up Philadelphia actually brings me to Fitzy's targets.
Oh, good, because I was going to say that. You mentioned Alshon Jeffrey. He was on a list of targets that Jeff Howe of The Athletic put out, and these were a bunch of receivers.
Hit me.
Eight of them that I they were not even on my radar. But,
okay.
But he says these are guys the Patriots, he didn't say are, he said should consider or might consider.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give you your list first? You want to read these?
Let me hear these.
Okay, Alshon Jeffrey, who's mm-hmm. 30.
Never trust somebody with three first names.
He's been out all year with Elise Frank, pretty tall receiver, right? I mean,
he's
6'3".
A big guy. Caught that pass over Eric Reed, the first touchdown of Super Bowl 52. Pretty good, but not dependent. Great catch radius, but banged up in the shop all the time.
Two Texans receivers.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Will Fuller.
Yes.
He's first on round my, pick 2016.
He's on my top five.
Kenny Stills, 2 years older, 28 years of age, 5 games this year, only 8 catches, 6'1", 5th-round pick in 2013.
But he's still a good deep threat.
Obviously, the Texans are out of it, and you can understand why they would be sellers. So
and they're about to go to 1-5 tomorrow. So,
Giants receiver Golden Tate, who I feel like is discussed
five.
Every year at this time.
Top five for sure, because the New York football Giants are going nowhere fast. You know, by the way, winningest team this year in New York, San Francisco 49ers. They're 2-0 at MetLife. No one else has won. Everyone wins there. There's no wins in New York yet.
And, by the way, as I look up at the college football screens, Clemson is winning right now. It's not even halftime. Clemson has 45 points. So you think all these teams don't want to ensure they suck to get Trevor Lawrence? I mean,
now this is like, let's finish the trade targets. But I think I'll entertain this for a second. Sunshine is as sure a lock NFL starter quarterback as there is. This kid is an mm-hmm. absolute stud. He hasn't thrown an interception since before the pandemic. He's
so far today, he's 21 awesome. Of 26 for 375 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's not halftime yet. Now, Georgia Tech sucks. I understand that, but still.
Fine. It's not his fault.
That's amazing.
He's so good. Moves great.
Touchdowns to 3 different receivers. Yeah. Anyway, okay, yes. So he's the obvious
Golden Tate makes so much sense because it was a possible target last year for the Brady finale. It would have been great if they signed him in free agency as opposed to pissing away a second rounder on Mohamed Sanu. So he goes to New York, 3 for 27. You would get him approximately halfway through the deal, so you would owe him the better part of or around half of $4.5 to $5 million this year. Then he's on the hook for one more year at 9. Not bad insurance considering that, you know, Jules Bubs, old Minitron, may just be too banged up next year.
Tate's 32.
Around the bed. Yeah, but you know what? Julian's 34, about to turn 35, and God, do I love me some Edelmania. But
see, Tate is like Sanu to me. I'm worried about that because I feel like Sanu, people hear the name Golden Tate and they think, oh, yeah, they think about Detroit. 3-4 years ago when he was catching 90 passes, but he's not that player anymore.
They think about the fail Mary. But look what they have going on down there. What a mess. What a mess.
All right. Okay.
He showed up against you last year. He looked pretty good last year.
Anyway, Golden Tate's on your top five and Will Fuller's on your top
five.
Here's the rest of the list from Hal. D.D. Westbrook, mm-hmm. who has fallen out of grace in Jacksonville for whatever reason.
You could get him on the cheap from Jacksonville. He's mm-hmm. just outside my top. We talked about him yesterday on the show. Chris Scheim and I are both in on D.D. Westbrook. He was great in college. Great in 2017, but just... Not, you know, right now it's all about Keelan Cole, LaVisca Chenault, and DJ Chark in Jacksonville.
Dante Pettis, who's with the Niners, second round pick of 2018, mm-hmm. 1 catch this year. I don't know what's happened to him out there. I have no idea. He's young, though, 24.
Speed to spare, but you know what we don't need is a guy who runs real fast that way but can't catch.
I guess, but they do need a deep threat, though. It would make sense to replace, if you're going to replace Damier Byrd, if the Patriots are looking for like the ideal receiving target, isn't it a deep threat?
I know. Wasn't it so funny for the longest time as in New England, it was like, we need a deep threat. No, we need a shutdown corner. Now you got a shutdown corner. So now we're back on, we need a deep threat.
But am I wrong? Is that what? No,
yeah, but I mean, like, if that's all he does, I mean, Damier Byrd can run real fast that way, but also still can come back and has pretty good hands.
Curtis Samuel, Carolina.
I think he's going to be tough to pry away because Carolina might, I think Carolina is highly competitive. Matt Rhule's got them playing hard. Like we said earlier, they've labeled themselves a tough-ass football team. And Teddy Two Gloves commanded a nice little offense there with Joe Brady, the former OC from LSU. I like what they're doing down there. Why would they want – it's all about Mike Davis, CMC, and obviously DJ Moore. That guy's – he's awesome. Curtis Samuel seems to have fallen out of favor there. I just don't think they move on from him this year.
And the last one on his list, Bengals first-round pick from 2017, John Ross, who very few people know who he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was supposed to be something, and he's not. But another fast guy.
Yeah, so they have nothing to do with A.J. Green now, nor will we or probably any other team, considering, even though last week he was spotted on the sideline saying, trade me, his cap number is just too prohibitive. It's way too much.
A.J. Green is unreachable.
You can't trade for him because he's untradeable, and you might want him just to see if there's anything left in the tires, but at $18 million? No way. That's a cap killer if he can't run like he used to.
So he's owed $18 million this year?
And I believe next, too.
And next. Good God. Okay.
That's brutal.
So who's the rest of your top five besides Will Fuller and Golden Tate?
My number one trade target, Zach Ertz.
Okay. No, but there's cap issues there, too, right?
Not that bad. No,
$6.7 million this year, $8.3 million next year.
Uh-huh. And worth every penny for a guy who's been in the top five tight ends in the NFL for the past 5 years. He's great.
Okay, he has been, but there's another guy like Super Golden Bowl 52. Tate. He's 30. He's going to be 30 in November.
Uh-huh.
He's like one of those guys that he scares. I remember watching college football. There's always like one or two players every year you watch in college football, and you're like, I was on that guy first. I knew he was good. Ertz was one of those for me, but it's scary to think that was 10 years ago. He was a good college player. He's now been in the league for 10 years.
No,
or almost
he's
8 years.
He's been in the
league
like 7 years, I think.
But, you know, he's 30 years old.
29 years. Yeah, he's not 30 yet. Still on the right side.
Okay.
All right. Maybe he's lost a step, and I know that they're all about, you know, they're going to try to put a big offer together for Dallas Goedert, who's on injured reserve right now. He's the future at tight end for Philadelphia. But if you can bring Ertz in, I still think he's got a lot to offer. You get a Greg Olsen-type tight end for Cam Newton, and Cam Newton has shown that he loves somebody like that in the passing game. That's more so than a deep threat or an outside numbers guy. I think that's exactly what the Patriots offense needs now, a tight end, someone who can work the middle, run the seam, good hands, big size, block, especially with the running game.
Well, everybody's thought that for years, and they still neglect it in the draft last year. This year, obviously, they address it, but now it's too late.
I know. And don't get me going, because we spent far too much time on this week, on the just when the Patriots said they didn't need a wide receiver after they drafted one in the first round last year and spent a second-round pick on another that turned out to just be a complete waste. You know, the most receiver-rich draft in NFL history. The numbers of players that have more receiving yards through four and five games than N'Keal Harry had last year is just jaw-dropping.
Well, but Roar Wasser was important.
You and I were on the air for that. Maybe that's still the seminal moment in our broadcasting tandem, Ken. We were here for Roar Wasser.
Zach Ertz won on the Fitzy trade target list. Number two
I had Will Fuller and Golden Tate in there.
Okay.
Also on the list, Marvin Jones Jr. from Detroit. Kenny Golladay. Looking for his big deal in Detroit, hasn't been extended yet, probably because there's just so much damn coaching uncertainty out there, because Lord knows if they're going to hold. Patricia could be out this season. He could be riding shotgun on the Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, Billy O'Brien highway pretty soon.
Well, the 1-3 Lions play the 1-3 Jags tomorrow. If the Lions lose that game, they're favored on the road. Couldn't you see Patricia getting the axe then?
I sure could.
That would be something.
Okay. But Marvin Jones is in the last year of his deal, $6.5 million. Mm-hmm. Good hands, has some speed, can work all over the field for you. Just another, you know who he is? He's just a dependable professional wide receiver.
Okay,
used to be greater, used to be faster, but he would be a lower risk option. And also, you only have him for the rest of this year, as opposed to Golden Tate being on the hook for 9 more next year. And then you want the moonshot?
Yep. I think I saw you tweet about this earlier today.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
That was a terrible whistling terrible. Of a Paul Simon song.
Hey, there's whistling in the song. Come on, you got to appreciate that. How would you not? Why? Now, okay, now his cap numbers are damn near prohibitive.
Didn't you fight about this with...
No. Rich Keefe and Miguel of Pat's Cap had their beef about Miguel's
beef.
Take.
It was like, Keefe's never been this fired up about anything on the air ever. He was so pissed at Miguel.
I know.
It was very bizarre.
It was like,
I mean, I guess he was defending John, the producer.
Considering, I think basically the long and short of it was, Rich Keefe is the only one who gets to kick the crap out of John Anderson. It's not Miguel's job. No, Miguel, who does a great job keeping, as Rich called him, the Pat's accountant online, does a great job. So many kidney punches.
Yeah, it really was.
He just didn't like the fact that Miguel called John's article lazy clickbait.
Which was about Matt Ryan, not Julio
Jones.
Yes,
was about Matt Ryan, et cetera. And at the end of the call, me, as you often say, someone who doesn't like confrontation and tries to be a peacemaker more often than being confrontational or digging deep myself, mm-hmm. I said, quick, Miguel, before we let you go, what would be the cap hit for trading for Julio Jones? Because I think it would be awesome. And actually, he replied to me on Twitter later on and said, here's how much it would cost this year. Here's what it would be next year.
And what was the answer?
If you get him this year, if you traded for him now, it would only be like $7.6 million the rest of the way. Next year, I think it's like 11.8, and he's got two more years. I know. And then everyone else on Twitter says, like, oh, I would love Julio Jones from 4 years ago. Problem is now, he's got those piano wire hamstrings, and he seems to be hurt all the time. Yes, Ken, you know as well as I do that sometimes getting a chance to be relevant, sometimes getting a chance to play for a winner just to contend, those hamstring injuries seem to find a way to heal themselves up awfully quick.
Okay. All right, so there it is. Julio Jones, Marvin Jones Jr., Zach Ertz, Will Fuller, and Golden Tate, the Fitzy top five trade targets. Who do you want to see Belichick go after between now and November 3rd, 617-779-7937, to get on the Laird and Fitzy extravaganza, which will feature our buddy Ross Tucker at 315. Speaking of the Matt Ryan piece, I'd like to pump my own column from this week, the Jimmy G column, and bring up the Matt Ryan as well. Mm. Real quick, not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I do want your thoughts on life after Cam. This is what we talk about in a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a bye week, you look to the future and team building a little bit. But we'll get back to the game tomorrow, too. But in terms of after Cam, who makes more sense, Jimmy G or Matt Ryan? We'll get your answer on that coming up next.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
Usually just piss.
There it is, delayed gratification. Finally, the Blake Bortles sound, which the end of that, we play that because it's RIP to the Blake Bortles era. He has been let go
by
the Broncos of all teams, Broncos.
That's one of my favorite clips of all time. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? RIP the Blake Bortles era. At one point, taken third overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars, now released by the offensive needy Broncos in 2020. RIP the Bortles era.
Well, we were talking about how these guys like flash in the NFL and then all of a sudden you look up and they're marooned in some destination that's terrible. This texter, 857, I think what happens is guys that don't really believe in a quarterback like Bortles, but he's on a hot streak, they run with it, and then after a couple of bad losses, the next year they jump ship quick and he's irreparably harmed. I guess so, but like, are you saying that Bortles actually had talent and was just screwed over? You just find out about a guy, he hits a peak and he's never going to be an elite. I mean,
well, Denver is basically telling you that now that Locke is healthy, we think that Ripon and Driscoll are better than Bortles. That should say a lot to other NFL teams and talent evaluators. That said, your 2021 starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, Blake Bortles.
No. Before we get into that,
yeah,
you had a feedback on your top five trade list.
Yes, I did. Regular listener to many programs here. We call him the Dice Man. Dice Reynolds said, here's a couple offensive targets. Could you consider a Brandon Cooks return? I still think he's owed too much money, and I think that ship has sailed. Although he has actually been trending in the right direction with downfield targets. Still doesn't have the numbers that he had in New England in 2017, let alone New Orleans previously. How about this, though? The Dice Man suggested Kyle Rudolph. Now, there was somebody the Patriots had some interest in the free agent market before he resigned with Minnesota. Minnesota, a sneaky good, if there is such a thing, 1-4, I believe. If they continue to fall further out of race and grace in the NFC North, would they consider maybe moving on from his money because they'll develop the guy they drafted last year in the top last year to beat New Orleans in the playoffs?
Irv Smith, who, by the way, second-round pick of the 2019 draft.
Mm-hmm.
Eight slots, I think, behind N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
So when you look back at it now, would you rather have N'Keal or Irv Smith on your Patriots roster?
I'm not out on N'Keal yet, but the more DK Metcalf looks like Calvin Johnson and the more A.J. Brown looks like Terrell Owens, the more I think that... All right, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, but you're right about the Vikings. And by the way, they play the Falcons tomorrow. 0-5 Falcons at 1-4 Vikings.
I think Bill Simmons called that. That's a loser leaves town match.
Yeah, it really is. But then again,
it's the Raheem Morris era. Watch out.
You now want to lose. I can't get over the first half numbers of Trevor Lawrence are so staggering. These teams that are 0-5, 1-4, Jaguars 1-4, Redskins, formerly known as Redskins, sorry, 1-4, Texans 1-4, obviously Jets and Giants. Hey, all these teams need him. You're kidding me?
Hold on. The Texans do not need Trevor Lawrence unless some offensive genius is going to come in with a two-quarterback formation.
You could always trade him. You know, you could trade
Deshaun Watson.
Trade Deshaun Watson. Lawrence is
in
that
favor
good.
Of Trevor. Deshaun yes. Watson is a national. He went to back-to-back national championships. The guy's incredible.
Okay, but you would admit like the Jets would easily trade Sam Darnold now to line up and get Trevor Lawrence and just reboot.
Trade
the
him. You might see him slinging Miller Lights in the stands next year.
It is going to be a major fight.
Watch out, whoever
he
throws it to, someone else will pick it off.
These games now become interesting because these teams are going to be so desperate to lose every week. You will see legitimate tanking in the NFL this year for the first time.
Could you see
outright tanking?
Could you see Adam Gase? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're totally not wrong. We could see a 2011 Curtis Painter, Dan Orlovsky, Indianapolis Colts job to try to suck for luck. That's the whole thing. It's tank for Trevor. It's suck for Sunshine. But do you think, could you see, let me play this one out. There are some other teams that will need quarterbacks next year. Could you see a team like the Bears next year? Could you see Matt Nagy say, all right, this Foles thing that got us through the year, and we're good, Mitch, thanks. Mitch, please, he's gone. Could you see them maybe saying to the Jets once they finally get rid of the toxic overlord that is Adam Gase,
mm-hmm.
like, all right, we'll give you a third for Darnold, like, and maybe seeing somebody who's like a – from the Andy Reid coaching tree, try to bring him in and reclaim him if the Jets were to take Trevor Lawrence and basically send him to the Phantom Zone.
If you read Mitch Mehta, Darnold is still the best quarterback in the AFC. He's just being misused down there.
You know what? You know, the joke is usually like, I'll have some of what he's drinking. I'll pass. Mitch, I'll pass.
Let's go to Dan in Cranston, one of our regulars here on Saturday on Laird and Fitzy on WEI. Hello, Danny.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you today?
How are you?
Dan the man. What's up, buddy?
Headed to the Packy in a minute. Doing the usual stuff, usual chores.
Attaboy. Rake and Packy in football. Is there a more New England Saturday than that?
Well, the Packy's before the raking, so. here's where I'm on the trade front. I just want to go big picture real quick. See, I don't view the Patriots as really going anywhere this year.
Really?
I really don't.
Wow.
No, well, I mean, define going. Like, playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, wild card? Yeah. But I don't want to sacrifice too much. I still think it's a foundation year because if the quarterback thing, and you're going to go there, Ken, with your article, right, which I read, which was good.
Thanks, buddy.
And the problem that I have with this is, like, I don't want to, like, sacrifice, like, Julio Jones and, you know, what it's going to cost to get him. And heaven forbid ever going to get somebody like a Matt Ryan whose contract is basically makes him – untradeable, or, you know, I think the dead cap on him was like $60 million or something.
We got it from,
if you look into it.
Yeah, actually, just to revisit what we were talking about a few minutes ago and yesterday's great border war between Rich Keefe and Miguel from Pat's Cap. Miguel had it out that it was, I think, like 40 next year. He's untradeable because it's like $45 million of dead cap money. You just can't move on from. There's no way. I don't care how much Dan somebody says it's salary crap, not salary cap. Like, you just can't trade for that kind of anchor.
And who wants a 35? First of all, the football cap going down next year.
Right.
And you really want a 35-year-old guy at that number? No. So, I mean, it's not even talking about worth talking about. But here's the thing. So, we just assume, do you guys both agree that Cam's probably moving on after this year?
Yes, I do.
I do not.
More likely than
you
not?
You do not.
I do
really.
Not. I think ultimately he likes it. I know they're using each other to mutual benefit right now, but I think he stays, Dan.
Okay, you know, and I'm really looking forward to the press conference next week with Bill Belichick, with the 49ers coming to town. I have a feeling that'll be telling to see how he really feels.
Good point.
About Jimmy. But irregardless, with Garoppolo, I think the 49ers are just one of those teams right now where just everything has gone wrong. They are officially the Super Bowl hangover picture, you know, poster child. And I just don't think the 49ers are going to be, there's too much talent, and I think it's unfair for them to move on from Garoppolo until they have a healthy team, because you just can't judge by what they have right now. You just can't. Their offensive line sucks for whatever reason this year. And, I mean, I pay a lot of attention. I'm a huge Jimmy G guy. I call in Sports Talk Radio in San Francisco 3 times this week. And, you know, they have more problems. When Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 24 of 28 for 350 yards and three touchdowns and a perfect passer rating, you know, you got much more problems than just a quarterback. So,
yep, it's a great, that's
Jimmy
a great point.
G's realistic. Yeah, I just don't think that Jimmy G's realistic. I don't think they're going to move on unless he really, really sucks moving forward. But, Ken, I really think your auto's great. Fitzy, you're the man. And any suggestions for an IPA?
Speaking of which, Fitzy got me a gift today, an IPA, a New England style IPA, double dry hopped cloud candy from the Mighty Squirrel Brewing Company. I really appreciate that gift. That is a nice one.
That's a delicious one. If you see any of that in the packy, of course, there's a million different ways you can go. You'll never go wrong if you get a little pulp or pulp daddy from our friends at Greater Good. Little bee hoppy from Wormtown. I mean, my gosh, Castle Island Keeper. There's so many ways to go.
I want to pick up on something he said there. We can bring up the Jimmy G stuff, too. Shameless plug of my column again. But is it a foundation year for the Patriots?
That's a great question.
That is an interesting take on it. And I guess it depends how you feel about Cam Newton. But more on that as we continue hour two, the 2 p.m. hour of Laird and Fitzy on the way on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.